Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Now I believe in ghosts. I live in Ohio, and there are three stories of things that have happened to me since the summer of 2000 that I would like to explain. Don't doubt my memory either. I remember everything perfectly, and I am 100% sure that this is accurate. This first incident made me actually consider the possibility that what people call ghosts actually exist. I was in my basement around 9 p.m. playing a keyboard facing the wall. I saw someone out of my peripheral vision walking towards me. I could see all the features of a human, a head, arms, and legs moving bilaterally, and even the walking motion was slightly exaggerated. It walked right up and stood next to me as if it was trying to get my attention non-verbally. When I looked, nothing was there. I was a little disturbed, but eventually shrugged it off. Now, later that same night, around 1 a.m., I was sitting on the computer in the dining room for quite some time. Everyone was asleep, and I had been sitting still for about an hour and a half. I got up to use the restroom. When I returned, I passed the desk I was sitting at and headed for the kitchen. This is when I realized that the fan was moving very slowly, as if someone had just tapped it a second ago. It was moving the wrong way. Things became creepy at this point. I then heard an overabundance, more than usual, of little noises all over the house that night, like the house was settling. Then afterwards, this began in the earlier part of 2002, around March. My parents and I were the only ones living in my house at the time. While in bed at night, I would hear a noise. Every once in a while, it sounded as if someone was standing across my room, digging their foot into my carpet. It was a scraping or rubbing noise. Just rub your foot back and forth into your own carpet to see what I mean. The scraping noise varied in duration and forcefulness. Sometimes it was very loud and fast, but sometimes it was more subtle and slow. This would happen almost every night for about 2 months. During these 2 months, a few other things happened that were even stranger. One night I heard something slide across my floor very quickly, making the same carpet friction sound, and ran into my bed. My bed shook. Another night I heard someone dance or hop down the hallway, hitting a squeaky spot on the floor several times. I'm sure it wasn't another member of the family just getting up. I would have heard my parents' door open. It's very loud. Another night, I was laying there listening to the usual feet scraping when something hit my dresser very hard. Imagine kicking your dresser as hard as you can with shoes on. I even heard the dresser's knobs dingle. Remember, this was right next to me, 5 feet away. I was very scared and didn't move. Then, about 10 minutes later, someone knocked on my window twice. I still hear the carpet friction every once in a while in the house to this day. Then in 2003, I was sitting in my basement on the computer last night. Everyone was asleep. I then heard a very loud bang on the floor upstairs that came from the dining room. I immediately went upstairs to the location and found nothing out of the ordinary. It seemed to me as if someone had picked up the desk chair in that room and dropped it from about a 2-foot height, which is loud. It was the only object in the room that could have made this noise. These three incidents are the main stories I have. There are several smaller things that happened to me. Things have fallen off the shelves many times over the years. The toilet sometimes flushes on its own. Other people who visited my house, like friends, cousins, etc., reported seeing black balls floating around my basement. A girl I was watching TV with one night told me that while I was in the bathroom, someone walked down the steps, who she thought was me, but nobody was there. Another person once saw a human shape walk past him in the mirror in the basement. When our dog died, each one of us, my parents and I, heard the same bark just once come from inside the house the very next day. I don't worry so much about the dog. What I do think about a lot, especially at night, is who's making that scraping noise against the carpet in my room. The intruder. When I lived in California in the late 1990s, I saw a man standing in my hallway. It was about 2 a.m. and I was using the bathroom. When I walked out of the bathroom, I saw my husband, Mike, standing at the end of the hall. He was completely dressed in a t-shirt, hooded sweatshirt that zipped up, knee-length shorts and sneakers, I asked him, "Mike, what are you doing?" Well, Mike answered me from our bedroom immediately to my left. I screamed that there was a man in the house. Mike jumped out of bed, grabbed his gun, and we walked the house. Every window and door was locked from the inside, and there was no trace of anyone in the house. My girlfriend Jackie spent Thanksgiving with us a few years later and slept overnight on our sofa. My mother came over about 11 a.m. and asked how she slept. Jackie said, "Great," until Mike came in at 7 a.m., sat on the sofa to put his shoes on. Mike happened to be walking into the room just then, and she responded, "I just woke up, and I wouldn't sit where you were sleeping to put my shoes on. I would sit in a love seat or a dining chair." Needless to say, all our jaws dropped open. Another time, my son, who was 2 years old at the time, said he saw a man in his room. He was pale, white, and terrified. I was alone with him, so we walked the house with my gun, and there was no one about. I believe he saw someone, though. No one can fake that bloodless, pasty white face of fear. Why would a spirit appear to my girlfriend and me as Mike, then appear as themselves, or someone else for all I know, to my little one? Maybe so we as adults would acknowledge their presence. But then again, I just don't know who is that man with the hoodie. Night of Terror. One night in 1977 on the outskirts of Rocky Mount, North Carolina, off Highway 43, my family and I lived in an old wooden house that was white and black and still stands to this day. I always felt that this house was haunted because every night after 12 a.m., you could hear a chair rocking in the back of the house, and in the living room, around the same time, it sounded like a fight had broken out. You could hear rustling going on. These are a few reasons why I felt like this house was haunted. One night, while I was watching TV, I glanced at a shadow of something about 6 feet tall moving outside my window. It scared the hell out of me, and I screamed and ran to tell my mother, just to return, and nothing was there. One Friday night, we had gone to bed. My mom and dad slept together. My oldest sister and youngest brother at the time slept together. And me and my older sister slept together in separate beds. Through the night, somehow, something moved the three of us to different beds. We never woke up during the move. We all woke up at the same time that Saturday morning, shocked, freaked out, wondering how could something move us through the night and never wake us up. I woke up in the bed with my daddy, my mom woke in the bed with my oldest sister, and my brother woke in the bed with my next oldest sister. It was very chilling. Even now, after many years that we moved away, no one has been able to live there. So if you'd like to be scared to death, move into this house that's in front of West Edgecombe School. You'll think you're in hell, believe it or not. This is a place where the evil never rests, and it always sounds like something is running at you through the woods. On the back porch, you can leave the kitchen for a hot minute with a hot dish water. Come back less than a minute later to ice cold dish water. I found out years later where the rustling sounds came from. I found out that someone was having a party one day and twins were there. Somehow one brother had a girlfriend that he was crazy about, just to find out his brother was sleeping with her too. One twin pulled a gun out during a fist fight in the living room with his twin and shot and killed him there. I'm sure now that this house is haunted and some poor soul continues to rock unpeacefully in this house each and every night. The man with a scary face. Me and my sister called it the 1817 place. That was the address, but it was over 150 years old. I was 12 and Jess was 14, and we were scared shitless of this place. My mother never believed us, but we know she saw things. Here's the thing, we always slept together even though we had our own rooms because it was so frightening just to be there. We always heard loud noises coming from the attic that were definitely not raccoons or squirrels, you know what I mean. And you could always feel presence in the house at all times. My first experience was when I was sleeping in my mother's room. Her bed was on the floor next to her door, which was right next to the stairway, and just as I was falling asleep, I heard loud clunking on the wooden stairs, just like when I walked down the stairs in my boots. The second experience was Jessica's. She was sitting on her bed reading. All of our beds were on the floor, and there was a chair right next to her, which was empty. But she looked up, and there was a girl in yellow pajamas sitting in her chair. The girl had what looked like a cut going all the way around her throat. She proceeded to tell Jess about herself and her death. I don't remember how old she said she was. She told Jess that she and her baby sister had been killed by their father. She was strangled and their sister was shot. I don't remember anything being said about the mother, but it might have been. The thing is that her father's room turned out to be mine. The third experience was of me and my older sister, Frankie. We were all sitting in the living room when we heard a baby crying, and there were no babies in the house. We went to the stairs because it was coming from upstairs, and when we got to the bottom of the stairs, we saw an infant crawling across the threshold of Jess's room. It crawled from her room to the bathroom, looked up, turned around, and came back. When she turned, we saw a gaping, bloody hole in her abdomen staining the blue gown that she was wearing with blood. The fourth experience was mine. I was sitting halfway out of the window smoking a cigarette. Yeah, I was a bad kid. When I looked back into my room, and there was a man standing there with the scariest looking face I've ever seen in my life. He had a double-barrel shotgun cocked in his left arm. You know, like open and waiting to be loaded. He was wearing overalls, a white undershirt and boots, and when he turned his head, the image resonated. Like, didn't completely move with him fast enough. He just looked at me and said, "Get out of my goddamn house," and left. I don't know what the hell went on there. I've not experienced anything like it before or after and hope not to. Maybe we all just saw what our imaginations wanted us to, but personally, I couldn't hallucinate if I tried. I'm too skeptical, and it halts me spiritually, but the thing that happened there was strong enough for quite a few people to see. Who knows if we can even believe it ourselves, but we saw what we saw and heard what we heard. And there is no doubt that there is more than one ghost haunting that house. The Haunting. 10 years ago, when I was 19, I met a girl named Lynn at a job placement agency, and quickly we became friends. Lynn lived with another girl at the time and continued to complain about her roommate and ended up leaving and coming to stay with me and my family. After a few weeks, we decided to get a place of our own and quickly found a nice basement apartment. Lynn was into the occult, nothing major, just tarot cards, burning candles, etc., which never bothered me. About a month after we moved in, the landlord came down to the basement one afternoon to do laundry, and the three of us somehow got into the topic of ghosts. The landlord's name was Susan, and she mentioned that she thought the place was haunted by her deceased mother, among others. But the thought of ghosts never really bothered me, maybe due to a slight disbelief. 2 weeks later, around midnight, Lynn came into my room and woke me up. "There are ghosts in this place, and they don't like you very much, so I would watch myself if I were you," is what she said to me at the foot of my bed, then left. Slightly disturbed and confused by this strange announcement, I got and went into her room to find her fast asleep. At first, I thought maybe she was pretending to be asleep, and it was a prank, or maybe I was crazy and imagined it, that I heard her saying all that stuff. But the next morning, when confronted, she claimed she didn't remember saying that, so I wrote it off as a weird dream. Then, about 3 weeks later, the two of us were watching TV at night before bed. I had to get up for work at 5 a.m., so I decided to go to bed early. Something woke me up at about 2 a.m., not a person, but something snapped me out of my sleep, and I woke to an overwhelming, uneasy feeling of not being alone. I felt the need to get out of my bedroom, so I got up, went to the bathroom, but was still uneasy and not comfortable enough to return to bed. I then went into the living room to watch TV. About 10 or 15 minutes later, the living room suddenly got very cold, and I felt a rush of wind passing past my cheek. In my ear, like a window was open, but all the windows and doors were closed, as it was the middle of winter. Then I began hearing an almost chattering or whispering in my ear, and the whispering continued and was circling around me, almost taunting me. I was hearing voices, but nothing was there, and it got louder and kept circling around me. I started to panic. I kept saying stop, unaware of what was happening to me, but scared to death. Was I hallucinating? I was so scared I did the only thing I could think of. I prayed to God, and not being a religious person by any means, I prayed something fierce. "Please God, make it stop. I'm scared. Please make it stop." When all of a sudden everything stopped. The chattering, whispering in my ears and all around me, the rushing of wind, whatever was causing this just suddenly stopped, just as mysteriously as it began. And after it stopped, I had this sudden overwhelming sense of relief, and I was actually able to get out and go to bed and fall asleep. Like what I just experienced never happened. I woke up at 5 a.m. rushed to get ready for work, and then rushed out of the apartment, relieved to be out of there, and I ended up staying at my boyfriend's. Friends' parents during the coming weeks, too scared to sleep in the apartment, and eventually I ended up moving back home. Still to this day, I can't explain what happened to me, or who or what was the something in that house. The Chained Oak. Living in the UK, I'm a lover of theme parks, and I'm a frequent visitor of a place in the Midlands called Alton Towers. It's a huge amusement park built on the grounds of an old stately home called Alton Towers. A few years back, they opened a new attraction, a ride called Hex. All it is a bit of supernatural history about the people who once lived at Alton Towers and the curse that surrounded them. The story goes like this. On an autumn night in 1821, the Earl of Shrewsbury was returning to his home, Alton Towers, when, mysteriously, an old man appeared in the road. The coach stopped to find why he was there, and the man begged for charity of a coin. The Earl cruelly dismissed him, so the old man placed a curse on him. The old man croaked, "For every branch on the old oak tree here that falls, a member of the Earl's family will die." The Earl dismissed him and carried on his way. But that night, a storm brewed up, and a single branch from the old oak tree broke and fell. Later that very same night, a member of the Earl's family suddenly and mysteriously died. The next day, the Earl ordered his servants to chain every branch together to prevent other branches from falling. So, bearing in mind the legend, and determined to find a tree, we started asking people at the park if they knew where it was. One said that they weren't really supposed to say because it's a bit off the beaten path and it's on private property, although it isn't on the side of the amusement park. It's actually near a bed and breakfast called the Chained Oak. Making our way, myself and my husband, my brother-in-law and his girlfriend, her friend and her boyfriend, we set off to find a tree. The day had been kind of off and on with rain, but as we left the park to find the tree, it had cleared up and the sun came out. We drove to the bed and breakfast, and they pointed us in the direction of the tree. They said, "Be careful, though," and we asked if it was because it was off the beaten path and required a walk through some woods. The lady at reception just smirked and said, "Yeah, something like that." We followed the path the lady sent us on, and sure enough, there in front of us, in a large clearing with stone steps leading up one side of the tree, was this enormous tree, with large heavy chains around the larger branches. As soon as we arrived, the rain was back, in thick drops and quite hard, and the sky had gone particularly dark. We decided to make our trip to the tree short because we'd left all our umbrellas in the car, and the walk there wasn't a short one, so we couldn't just pop back into the car to get them. On closer inspection, the tree had actually grown around the chains, proving that it wasn't just a scam set up for curious people from Alton Towers or the local town. We popped out our camera and started taking some pictures of the tree and us near the tree. I posted a picture with my brother-in-law's girlfriend in one. Touching the tree, it had a vibration, and it was so warm. The chains were strong, as my brother-in-law proved by swinging himself off of one just to see if it held his weight. The temperature had dropped significantly since we'd arrived in the clearing, and on discussion later, we all confirmed quite an ominous feeling while we were there. We had all described similar feelings, like the sense of being watched, the sense of being unwanted, but at the same time, a very calm feeling. We had two cars, so my husband and myself got into ours, and the four of them piled into theirs, and we set off for a hotel. On our way there, I looked at the pictures on the digital camera and was quite surprised at some of them. In the picture where I was posed with my brother-in-law's girlfriend, there was a dark spot in between us. We were shoulder to shoulder and very close, like a missing part of the picture. Another interesting thing was that although it had been dark and rainy while we were there, you can see in the pictures the sun shining through the leaves of the tree. As far as I can remember, once back home and on a computer screen, there were quite a few orbs in the picture as well. I will check with my husband if we still have them, because shortly after the trip, we had a large falling out with my brother-in-law and my husband. Being impulsive, might have deleted some of them. Not long after their falling out, they were both involved in a very, very serious accident, and the one mostly hurt was his girlfriend. What we saw in that picture, was that a warning? Was that part of the Chained Oak? Get an afterlife. Last February, I moved into a new apartment with my boyfriend, and since then, our relationship has been on the rocks. Within this past year, I have definitely been feeling something in the bedroom and sometimes in the bathroom with me. Usually, it was just a sense of a presence there. Sometimes, I would hear my name and then I started feeling it right when I would get into bed. At first, I thought I was just imagining it all. I would tell myself it was a dog jumping on the bed and then realize he was already asleep next to me. That's when I would get scared and start saying my prayers until I fell asleep. I told a friend who practiced Santeria about what I was experiencing, and he told me that there was a spirit following me because he was jealous of my blessings. I thought my friend had gotten rid of him for a while, and then the other day, after my boyfriend and I decided to break up, I felt a presence get onto the bed with us and do me missionary style. I thought I was losing my mind. I kept tossing and turning, but I could still feel it over me. I could even feel the bed moving to his rhythm, and I knew the dog was under the bed, so it couldn't be him. My boyfriend was in bed next to me, but I didn't say anything for fear that he would think I was nuts. The next day, I found the frame prayer I had hanging in the bedroom doorway broken on the floor, and the weight I kept behind the door in the way of opening the door. That freaked me out the most because I know the weight wasn't there before, and the picture seems it was uplifted by itself off the wall because the hook on the wall and the frame were fine. It was just the wood frame that was cracked. I told my boyfriend about the picture and the weight and then about last night. He said that he had been awake too and felt the bed moving but thought it was the dog until I reminded him that he was the one that kicked the dog off the bed. My boyfriend tried immediately to call the most spiritual woman he knew, his mom, while sitting on the bed in the bedroom. Twice he tried to tell her what happened while in there, and both times the phone cut service. It wasn't until he went into the bathroom that the phone stayed on. I'm going to be moving into a new apartment by the end of the week, and I'm afraid that the spirit will follow me there. He doesn't seem necessarily to want to hurt me yet. He seems to be getting stronger, or at least bolder. And, in the end, what should I do? Because it seems that everything I know of, even prayers, has not seemed to work. The ghost in the dormitory. In 1980, I was attending Chipola Junior College in Marianna, Florida. I was living in the dorm and I worked at the reception desk every weekend. Oftentimes, I was the only person there for the entire weekend. On this particular weekend, Sunday afternoon rolled around and my roommate and suite mates returned from their homes. The way the rooms were laid out, there were two rooms with a bathroom between them. Together, they were considered a suite. I was helping them unload their cars. They always brought back some awesome groceries from home and passed through bathrooms to put some of my roommates' things in our room. As I walked back through the bathroom, I decided to walk back through my suite mate's room instead of walking out into the dorm hall. I looked to my right. This area was pretty small as it was the entrance slash exit for the shower. As I looked to my right, I saw a young woman there. She was medium height with long, dark, straight hair. Her hair was parted in the middle and she was wearing a blue and red rugby style shirt. Her hair and shirt style reminded me of the fashions of the early 70s. Of course, I knew immediately she didn't belong there and quickly looked away and then back. She was gone. I was really excited and ran to find my suite mates and roommate who were walking down the hall. I told them the story of what I had seen. I thought they'd think I was crazy, but they didn't. We decided that the next day we would find the cleaning lady and ask her if there had been a girl who had lived in one of our rooms and had died. Mrs. Ryan, the cleaning lady, had been working in our dorm for a long time, so we knew she would know. The next day, we went on to classes and our other usual activities. In the afternoon, my roommates and I were back in the dorm around 3 p.m. We eagerly sought out Mrs. Ryan. She was in the laundry room working. I asked her if there had ever been a girl who had lived in our room who had died. She said she wasn't sure. I described the girl I'd seen, and Mrs. Rain told me she remembered a young girl fitting that description who had died in a car wreck. Well, a few weeks passed and I decided I had just imagined the girl. But another weekend came around and I found I hadn't imagined it at all. It was Saturday night and I had been out with my cousin and a friend. Our curfew was 2 a.m. but I was home by midnight and safely in bed by 1 a.m. Then I heard the water in the sink in the bathroom turn on. My suite mate was supposed to be coming into town for a date with her boyfriend. I assumed when I heard the water that she had come in from her date. The water stayed on for a long time. I got really aggravated at my suite mate but finally decided to get up and turn the water off. The next morning, I went into my suite mate's room but she wasn't there. I thought maybe she and her boyfriend had gone out for breakfast. When she came in that evening, I asked her why she had left the water on the night before. She looked at me like I had lost my mind and asked me what I was talking about. I told her, "You know, when you came in from your date last night, you turned on the water and left it on." She said, "I never even came into town last night. I was at my parents' house all weekend." I decided my dark-haired friend wanted to make sure I knew she was there. I never saw her again, or had any more evidence of her existence ever come through. But I know she's real, and I think she's still there. The guy in my basement. I don't remember how old I was exactly when I first felt not alone in the basement of my parents' house. I was probably in the 10-11 age range when I would get the feeling of not being alone. Every day I would come home from school and watch Nickelodeon on our basic cable TV in the basement. The house was built in the mid-80s, so it wasn't an old Victorian or even creepy at all. It was just, you know, a house. I would generally watch TV and play with my Legos or draw in my sketchbook or something to keep myself occupied. Eventually, though, I started getting the feeling that sometimes I was not alone down in the basement, and sometimes I would even see something out of my peripheral vision going down the hall to my right. I would like to point out that I wasn't watching anything on TV that would weird me out and make my mind play tricks on me. I was usually watching Doug or Darkwing Duck or some other ridiculously awesome program when I would just see something jet through the hallway. I'd turn my head, of course, but nothing was there. Honestly, I wasn't really all that weirded out by it because I had quite the imagination, so I just blamed it on that. Not to say I didn't believe in ghosts. My favorite movie in the world was and still is Ghostbusters, and I've always loved the occult because of it. This is where the story finally got me. One day, I was in the upstairs bathroom brushing my teeth or sneaking a delicious Flintstone vitamin or something when I felt a hand touch my shoulder. I looked up into the mirror, because I was facing one at that time, and saw a figure behind me. It looked like a guy, but I wasn't checking for chest hairs, so I could be wrong. Naturally, I fled from the scene, uttering obscenities at the world as I burst out the front door and into the road outside. I don't remember how long I stayed outside before I finally went spelunking back into my home, but I would venture a guess that it was a while. On another note, my mother, who is really into ghost stories and hauntings, claimed that she was home one day while I was at school and heard the door open and close downstairs. She assumed I was home early from school and yelled my name down over the banister towards the bottom of the stairs. No one answered, especially not me because I was at school. Mom then called my sister's name. Again, no answer. At this point, she went downstairs to investigate and found nothing. No matter what happened, their mom believes that a ghost was up to shenanigans in our house. Because we're adventurous and mildly stupid, Mom and I decided to take the ghost thing kind of seriously and looked into the housing development story. We found two things. The housing development was more or less brand new. And then secondly, the development was built over an old farmland, and as it turned out, about 2 quarters away, there used to be a cemetery for the farmer's family. Our neighbors and friends lived in that court and also claimed they'd hear the basement rocking chair in their home make noises in the night. So I guess maybe we're being haunted by the farmer's family? This happened when I was a kid and I'm 26 now. It wasn't evil or anything, just an experience or two. E-I-E-I-O. The Farmer's Ghost. I was 8 years old when we moved to Colts Neck, New Jersey in 1976. My parents had the house built about an acre and a half of property. The homes in the area were pretty new, although the town itself dated back to the 1700s. My family is large, so we were all excited to move into the 6-bedroom colonial. My 2 brothers were the oldest, and my parents gave them the 2 downstairs bedrooms that jutted off the wing of the garage. For the first year, things were normal until the day my brother Mike began complaining of noises outside his bedroom window. At first, he said it sounded like bushes rustling in the wind and scraping against the siding and glass panes. My mom was skeptical, since there were no bushes or shrubs planted in the back of the house. As months went by, the noises continued and increased to a soft thud and then a sliding sound, like a person baling hay against a barn wall. He didn't seem to mind the noises all that much, but when his closet door would open by themselves, it really freaked him out, and he tried to tell our parents that he thought something was in the house, but of course, they were cynical, since no one else had experienced anything. My tough 17-year-old brother began sleeping with the lights and his TV on. Before long, things started to disappear and reappear in very odd places. Car keys would disappear from the table and turn up in the kitchen cabinets. My brother's watch vanished for 2 weeks before ending up in the garage under a box of Christmas decorations. Even my grandmother's false teeth went missing, never to return. They weren't in her mouth. When my oldest brother Rene left for college, I would stay in his room sometimes. He had a great TV and an even better stereo system. The room was cold very often, and when I slept there, I would have the most vivid dreams. Not scary, but incredibly real. On several occasions, I would wake up freezing to find the blankets piled on the floor at the foot of the bed. Despite that, I really enjoyed that room until my brother's girlfriend came to stay one weekend. We were eating breakfast when she asked my dad if he came into the bedroom the previous night. My dad said he hadn't. My brother Rene grew very quiet when I think back to it. She went on to explain an eerie story. She said she woke when she heard her name being called. It was a man's voice, and when she answered, there was no response. Attributing it to a dream, she drifted back to sleep only to be called again. This time, she saw the figure of a man standing over her. She said he was tall and thin, and on further groggy observation, noticed he had sharp features and was wearing a floppy brimmed hat and a frockish type coat. She could not see his eyes, but he was illuminated by a faint bluish aura. He stood for a moment and then made his way to the foot of the bed and out the wall. Thinking it was a dream, she went back to sleep. By this time, my brother was pretty pale at listening to her story. Rene is a pure cynic, black or white only, no gray area need apply. He hesitantly told of an identical experience that had happened to him a few weeks before leaving for Glassboro State. He never mentioned it for fear we would all think he was crazy. His girl was pretty mad that he hadn't told her and let her sleep in the room. Night lights became a staple in that back bedroom from then on. Not long after my mom was in the kitchen, she turned to put something on the counter when she saw the figure of a little girl dressed in a period clothing, bonnet and all, staring out our picture window. As soon as she saw her, she vanished. Like I said, Kaltznack is old. Phalanx Road was a main thoroughfare for the original settlers. Archaeologists would do digs in the surrounding areas and find old last medicine bottles, farming yokes and remains of old homes that used to be. Back in the woods by the reservoir, there is a grave monument. I was young and can't remember the name or the inscription, but it was very old and very out of place back there in the undeveloped woods. Was it the spirit of the farmer that used to live and farm on the land our house was built on? Was that his daughter? Did they die in the rumored fire at Phalanx and don't know they've gone? I guess we'll never know. We moved out in 1984 and settled into a very unhaunted house in Whippany. I wonder if the people that took our place have had any experiences, and if my mom, who passed in that house in 1983, has left her impression there. It certainly opened my eyes to the mysteries that our human form cannot fathom or solve.